Welcome to Backdoor Cover, a sports podcast for winners. I'm Ross Bolin here with Dan Magister,
the ultimate winner,
and Dylan Shiver.
Hey, Billy.
How you doing, guys?
Doing fantastic.
That's great. We've got a special guest today. And before we get to him, we're going to talk about Man Outfitters at manoutfitters.com. Man Outfitters is our in-house menswear curation heaven.
It's an online retail store.
Sure.
Is what it is.
It's a way of putting it.
For men.
That we run here at Grand X, that we curate the best menswear and accessories on the market, find the best brands, and go through and find their best products so that you don't have to. Use the code BACKDOOR at checkout at manoutfitters.com, and you get 10% off your entire order. We just got brand new stuff from Mizzen and Main and Outdoor Voices. If you're not familiar with those brands, go check them out. Very, very comfortable.
Both brands are well represented in my closet right now.
Yes, and on your body, perhaps even.
Maybe? At the moment.
No? Okay, no. Fine.
Yeah, there's the talks moment. That you're the new Mizzen guy.
You know, you could have just lied.
I heard that.
You're kind of taking my crown.
You could have just gone with it.
Well, there's a camera on me, so I don't want to, you know, I'll get caught.
That's true. That's true. Use the promo code BACKDOOR, 10% off your whole order, manoutfitters.com. All right, now we're going to get to Ted Kasten from draftanalyzer.com.
In studio.
Ted, how are you?
Fine, guys. How are you doing?
Great.
Doing great, man. Good.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Fantasy season is upon us.
Yes.
I'm Christmas excited time. He's in here today because
I have a lot of
love
questions.
Fantasy football, and I love talking about it. As long as you don't talk about your personal team too much.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a wide array of opinions on fantasy in this room right now. I am a PPR standard snake draft guy. And Dan is an idiot. And you, Dylan, are an auction guy.
I will not play I will not be in a league that's not auction. I think it's for little boys.
Hey, man, like you can have your fantasy football, and it doesn't affect my life. Like, do you? But I'm just not a fantasy guy, so I'm just going to kick back and like listen to what you have to say.
You're missing out on so much fun, Dan. It's so much fun.
I just don't understand that.
It makes every game interesting.
You're a gambling guy, too.
I'm a gambling guy, so like I just gamble on individual games, and then I have too much invested in that and my Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't need any conflict or just like...
That is just...
We should probably talk to Ted a little bit.
Yeah, since Dan, there's always room for more addiction in your life.
Thank
you,
Ted.
We got plenty of vices. I don't need that.
All right, so Ted, explain to us how draftanalyzer.com came to be initially and how it works in the modern day fantasy market with everything that goes on.
Yeah. It's been around for a long time. I started it over 13 years ago. Initially, it was something that I developed because I'm a computer geek and put together a Microsoft Access program to help me on draft day. I was a commissioner of my league. And I spent more time, this is back in the magazine, pencil and paper day.
13 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Before fantasy was on commercials, before it was on ESPN, before most of the world knew about it, except
wild.
For the hardcore. But there was nothing else out there on the market as a commissioner. I was sort of losing track of everybody else's picks and had no idea what to do myself. So I developed a software app. To give me personalized advice throughout the draft. So it was dynamic. It wasn't static like a cheat sheet. If somebody drafted my favorite wide receiver right before me, I didn't have to panic and flip through all the pages.
Automatically updates.
Give me the next best player to build the best team, whether it's a wide receiver, running back, quarterback, whatever.
Cool.
So built that up over a couple of years on nights and weekends for fun and then launched it in 2004. Had RotoWire, RotoWorld, and Fantasy Sports Magazine were my first three partners.
Nice.
And then the following year, that sort of was a proof point. The following year, picked up CBS Sports and partnered with them for a very long time. A couple years, I think in 2007, picked up ESPN. So for a long time, I framed into CBS as well as ESPN and their ESPN Insider package.
Oh, yeah.
So if you use the Draft Analyzer on ESPN, that was my software I framed into their site. Now we've got a partnership going with those two ended a couple years ago. Now I've got a partnership going with Yahoo. So you'll start seeing the Draft Analyzer logo and promotions on Yahoo this summer, which is good.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
All right. So as a guy who typically my preparation for my draft, which is this upcoming Wednesday, actually, so a week from today, revolves around like about a half hour before I sit down. Bust out like 3 to 4 cheat sheets online, mostly from the websites you just named, like RotoWire and whatnot.
Yeah.
And
do you go free or you go subscription?
I go free.
Okay.
And then, you know, we have like my league that I'm in is on ESPN. So we, you know, have that little thing. You can set your draft order or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. So the whole draft, I'm like bouncing between these three or four things, trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing. And it hasn't worked out yet very well for me personally. I think I've made the playoffs twice in 6 years, never made it past the first round, though. So I guess my question is, like, how is Draft Analyzer going to affect my performance on draft day?
Well, your description is very typical. And the challenge with that is when you're flipping between three or four different sources, you're getting three or four different pieces of information, and none of those are updated with actually who's available, who's been drafted.
It gets really tough.
Yeah, whether you've already got a stud wide receiver or you have no wide receivers. So the Draft Analyzer, we actually have projections from five different sources. So we sort of do a lot of that legwork for you, and our sources are all premium subscription, top-end experts, Pro Football Focus, Fantasy Guru, 4 for 4, Number Fire, and Fantasy Shark. So we sort of do all that half hour free cheat sheet you do is already built into the software.
Right.
And then so we can give you an aggregate player ranking, one list that's aggregated from those five sources, and you can weight each source differently if you like one better than the other. You can see all five points of view. So if you're looking for a wide receiver, you can see, you know, is there a consensus top wide receiver from all five sources? Are they all different? So you get to see all of that in one page. You don't have to flip between different browsers. You don't have to flip between different pieces of paper. It's all right in your draft software. So really gives you a ton of information right at your fingertips. You're not scrambling. It's so much less stress. And you'll make much, much better decisions.
And it plugs right in?
Plugs right into Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, NFL.com, My Fantasy League, and RT Sports are the six sites that it plugs into. So at the click of a button, we'll import all your settings, your draft order, your team names, what draft position you've got, all your scoring rules, so standard PPR, etc., roster settings. So that's super easy to get going. And then during the draft, we pull in the live draft picks, from ESPN, Yahoo, RT Sports, and My Fantasy League. So you press a draft sync button and it imports everybody else's draft picks. So it's sort of hands-free drafting.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it takes so much stress out of the process. It's fantastic. Once you do it, you'll never go back. It's sort of what happens.
It's crazy to think about the difference from back when you started 13 years ago, when, you know, I remember like as a little kid going to my dad's fantasy football drafts where they'd have it in somebody's living room, like one of their buddies with a giant draft board, and everybody was like, you know, had newspapers, magazines, like all this different shit that they used to compile their data, who they wanted to pick, trying to keep up with picks, people picking people who had already been picked, getting made fun of, all that.
Yeah.
To where it is now, to where it's all online, obviously, and automated. And sure, there's guys that do it a little more old school, but I'm not one of them. Yeah. I'm like I said, a standard PPR guy, snake draft guy. But Dylan, as an auction guy, I guess.
Yeah. So it's kind of my mission to like make fun of everyone who's not in an auction league. And
sure.
I want to convert everyone, because the difference is insane. It's ridiculous.
Auction guys are fantasy snobs. You guys
No, that's fair. That's fair.
You're high and mighty on your high horse. I've got several of you as good friends of mine, and you're all the same.
I'm hoping Ted backs me up here in a little bit, but the advantages are here's why I think the auction is so much better. Number one, the draft order is almost a moot point. It still matters, but every player is on the table for you. You know, everyone starts with the same amount of money, and the players, you know, you call a name out, and the bidding process starts. It takes longer. Yeah, I get that. Every player is on the table. So if you get the last pick in your draft, the top guys, they're still going to be, you're still going to have an opportunity to get them. The strategy,
Right. There's a lot more that goes into it. But I think the main deterrent for people who don't do auction is that you have to be able to get everybody together in the same room.
That is a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. We usually get everyone together. Sometimes there are a couple guys who can't make it and they'll have to phone in. It is a hassle.
How would that, how but is it, that has to be hell.
Another thing, no, it's not hell, but the auction day for us, draft day, is a blast. I mean, it takes like 5 hours probably to do it. But it's so much fun. We drink and we usually turn it to like a weekend trip somewhere, and it's just awesome.
Okay, so Ted, how does something like Draft Analyzer affect an auction draft differently than?
Yeah, so we've got the only true auction analyzer software on the market now. It's called Auction Analyzer, and it's part of our subscription package.
Oh, cool.
And you can obviously print out cheat sheets with dollar values. Again, they're static. They're not reflective of what your league is. We've got dynamic dollar values that are updated after every auction pick. If you've got keepers, that dramatically changes the prices of everybody else because you get David Johnson for a dollar. All of a sudden, that guy can bid a ton of money for other people. So it calculates all the inflation factors from keepers as well as during your auction. So if people are overbidding or underbidding for players, the software will track that and give you suggested bids. Also, you can customize those suggested bids. If you want to get you know, a stud quarterback and you want to spend 10% of your budget on a quarterback versus 8% or 6%, you can plug that into the software and it'll give you suggested bids for all players based on your auction strategy. One of the challenges with auctions is everybody overbids for David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Those top five studs just go for huge values. So as you're listening to these guys get bid up and bid up, you can see, all right, if I bid $35 for David Johnson versus 30, how is that going to reflect affect the rest of my team? It updates dynamically, so you can see all of your positions based on those budget dollars being spent. So obviously software, you can just get a lot more analytics a lot faster than you can on cheat sheets. So it really gives you more of a visibility into your whole team based on what's going on with the guy that's on the auction block.
My issue is always, and I'm not even in an auction league, so it's pathetic, but like, you know, okay, like for example, last year we did one where we all had, we made a weekend out of it. It was like a golf trip, which involved playing golf all day before we did our draft and a heavy amount of drinking. And by the time I was done, like I woke up the next day and I drafted three fucking kickers and my team was a disaster. I ended up making the playoffs somehow, but it just, I can never keep up with what I've already got, even with it being on a screen. We did this one live, so it was on a board, but it just gets, the further we get into the draft, like pretty much past the first three rounds, I'm blind and worthless. So this is like the perfect tool for somebody like I watch the NFL pretty much all day every Sunday during the season, but I don't know nearly enough about like the updated going into this season. I'm going to be making so many decisions based off of shit that I remember from last season or sometimes even like three seasons ago that might be totally irrelevant now.
Yeah.
So it's definitely helpful to have a tool like this that.
Yeah. And that's a challenge with snake drafts. You know, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, the studs get all the attention and all the ESPN airtime.
Right.
All those guys are gone after round one. And whether you pick David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, it doesn't really matter. Those guys are going to be studs. Unless one of them gets injured, they're going to be studs. So those top guys, you know, you can pick any of them and your team's going to be fine. But that's one pick. Really where you win or lose drafts in competitive formats where everybody's making intelligent picks, you know, are in the later rounds, rounds 4 to 7, you know, where you're getting those unknown players that you pick as, you know, RB25, but he starts, you know, ends up being RB12.
Yeah, that's where I lose.
Yeah, that's where you win or lose those snake drafts. And the thing about software is you don't lose track of that because obviously the software does it for you. You're not deep into cheat sheets and printouts. So it really, you know, you can't prevent injuries or prevent drafting a guy from injury, but if you're always making good decisions on every draft pick and you're not reaching two rounds early for a player that was good 2 years ago, you know, you're not trying to draft Victor Cruz based off of, you know, 3 years ago.
Right.
You know, that's where it really helps. It prevents you from making any really, really stupid picks.
So what about like with a Zeke Elliott situation where currently he's suspended 6 games, but he's appealing on Tuesday? If your draft is between now and then, or like, is there any way to take into consideration what do you do there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's obviously a great example. He's, you know, there's still so much up in the air, but as soon as that news came out that he was suspended 6 games, you know, we immediately updated our software. We dropped his ADP. We cut his projections, you know, in half. So within a minute of that news coming out, the draft software was updated. And the average draft position is obviously sort of a guess at this point.
Right.
It's particularly initially, some people are taking him in the third round, which I'm assuming they're betting that he doesn't get a 6-game suspension, because I don't see how you could do a third round pick for some guy who's not even going to play until October 29th or something.
Right.
So I think they're hoping that it gets reduced, or he gets the Tom Brady treatment where it doesn't happen for another year.
Which is a real possibility, I guess, considering how these things have gone in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
So as the appeal is ongoing, before a ruling has come down, he's allowed to play, correct? Regular season? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they can put a stay on his punishment, right, or whatever, so he gets to play until it gets through the court system, which would be sort of the Tom Brady situation. In that, right, case, it would probably be a year, so he'd play this whole season. And apparently his judge just came out today, and he apparently reduced Greg Hardy's suspension from 10 games down to 4.
The same judge?
The same judge that's going to oversee this one. It's not Roger Goodell. It's more of a impartial between the NFLPA and the NFL. So that might be good for Ezekiel Elliott to get it from 6 down to 4. But, you know, if you're drafting him in the third or fourth round, you're taking a huge, huge risk. I would sort of let somebody else draft him until that comes, you know, solidified, which won't happen until the end of August.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Generally, you want to avoid a situation like this if possible.
Yeah, when you're getting 0 points, you know, if you draft somebody that early and he's 20 or 30% lower than what you hoped, you're still fine. But getting zero, you're that's brutal.
Yeah, that's brutal. I know how that feels. Any other questions?
No, I want to convert. I don't want to fully convert you to an auction, but I want you to try one.
I mean, that's not like a thing I can just. It's.
I know.
Like mine's based
probably,
on.
It's probably too late this year. I understand, but there are leagues who are, you know, at people all the time.
I got a question. How do you see Adrian Peterson fitting in with the Saints?
I've never drafted a Saints running back, and I'm usually pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
Why, just because they're so heavy on passing and Breeze?
Yeah, it's all
spread
passing.
Spread the love among everybody.
They've always got three. I mean, it's not just two running backs by committee. It's three, and they still have three. I wouldn't draft him in fantasy if I was a Saints fan. It'll probably be fun to watch. But, you know, they've got Ingram. I think they probably will go more run heavy now that Drew Breeze is getting a little bit older. They got rid of Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
So they might run the ball a little bit more, but those guys, when you have three different running backs all sharing carries, it gets really frustrating to pick one.
Because touchdown vultures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in like a best ball format where the computer picks your optimal lineup, he's probably much better. Then you don't have to predict or guess when he's going to get that touchdown. And if he goes off, then you're psyched. If he doesn't, you've got somebody else that automatically fills in for him. So, you know, maybe in like a best ball format, where you don't have to make those decisions or predict the future, he'd probably be a lot better.
I remember what I wanted to ask you. I know guys who do like 3, 4, 5, 6 different leagues. I know guys who do one. I found the sweet spot to be 2 because I've done 3 before, and players will start to like cancel each other out.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? How many leagues do you play in? Season-long leagues, not the one-dayers.
The season-long, I'm in a lot. I do at least one league on every site that we partner with, so ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, NFL, RT Sports, and my fantasy league for work-wise, just to make sure I know what their features are. If we need to you know, integrate with their APIs, which we do, I've got something that I can test.
Yeah, your situation is a little different than most people.
Yeah, yeah. So that's 6 just to start. I think 2 is a good sweet spot. I've got my personal league with my high school buddies. It's been going on forever. That's probably my number one most important league. It's not a lot of money, but it's a lot of pride and trash talking. So that's my number one. And then I'll do a couple of high stakes leagues. I can call it business, but it's a lot of fun. NFFC is a good high stakes company out there. I usually go to Vegas for some of their drafts, which is a ton of fun. So I'll do, you know, probably 2 or 3 of those that have a decent buy-in and payout. So those are sort of the ones that I really focus on. But I think the 2 to 3 is a sweet spot. Anymore, you're right. You've got everybody cancels each other out.
It gets too weird, yeah.
No,
I agree with you, Dylan, that I've done 3 before, and 2 is kind of the sweet spot.
And you can't just do 1, because if your team tanks, you know, 5 weeks in, you're 1-4, it's like, I'm done.
Well, it's changed. The game has changed a little bit now, because if by week 4 you realize you're you did one team and your team is garbage, you can go do one day fantasy sports for the rest of the season or whatever. But yeah, up until a few years ago, that wasn't a possibility.
The league with all your high school buddies, do y'all do a last place punishment? That's kind of a new thing that's come up the last few years.
Yeah. We want to implement that. I think those are brilliant. I've heard some really funny ones.
We did one. My buddy had to, he did a 5-minute stand-up set at a local, open mic night. He didn't do so bad, actually. But that's a pretty tough punishment.
Aren't y'all talking about what is your
one idea we have is the loser has to drive from here, from Austin to Kansas and back in one day. Just drive there.
Like in a 24-hour period.
Improve you cross the border and then drive back in a 24-hour
period.
Which
is how long of a drive?
It's like a 12-hour drive. So there and back.
Basically,
you
stop for gas only. That's
so you're just driving.
You're just
24
driving.
Hours. Like it's just unsafe.
It's just
like you have to. You
it's
have
just
to
unnecessary burning of gasoline.
You have to do trucker drugs.
Yeah,
to pull this off.
Probably hit up like a pay by
it's
the hour motel.
You need a Trans Am and a buddy in a truck.
Yeah,
and play the Smoking the Bandit theme song the whole time.
Exactly.
Pick up a truckload of beer.
Tattoos are real popular too. You could get a tattoo of like the
right
gets to pick.
Yeah, that's a big trend. The last place tattoo. Yeah, I would not do that.
Fuck
I would
that.
Not do
no,
that.
That's, no that's way. That's too hardcore, one. Man. Yeah,
I don't want Justin Bieber on my arm.
No way. Yeah, especially if you're letting the guys in your league pick what the tattoo is, which is what a lot of the people do. Like winner of the league gets to pick what the last place guy gets. No way. The guys in my league are scumbags.
The first year we did it, and Mark Braun,
yeah,
a big. I have a friend who's 6'5", big, tall, funny dude. Anyway, he lost. And his punishment was we did our draft the following year in New Orleans. So the whole weekend he had to dress like a pirate. And he got this really expensive, awesome
at least
pirate
it was in
costume.
New Orleans.
And
that's sort of normal.
So we got drunk. Obviously, we're on Bourbon Street. We got drunk. We're walking down. And they have the street performers out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's this guy who had this, very mature, full, parrot. Like a real colorful, huge parrot on his shoulder. We were like, oh, my God.
With your hand, you're making it sound like this parrot is 3 feet tall.
It was enormous. And we're like, Toad, the only thing your costume is missing is a parrot.
Oh, no.
And so we walked up to this dude, and we tried to buy it off of him. But he wanted something like $5,000 for this parrot.
Dude, you don't give up your parrot for less than $5,000.
What if we had bought this parrot? We're on Bourbon Street. We're not going to take it home and care for it. We're just going to eventually let it go on somewhere in Bourbon, in the French Quarter.
You free it into the New Orleans air, which is very clean.
Didn't happen, but it would have been a great story if it had.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Okay, well, Ted, to get back to fantasy, are there any guys that you see as, I don't want to say sleepers, but top players that aren't the obvious that we've already named? Not necessarily David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, but is there anybody that you see as kind of that you think is going to be exciting this year. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I went through, for this podcast, I read through, we partnered with Fantasy Guru, Pro Football Focus, 4 for 4, and I went through all their sleepers, targets, avoids, overvalued, undervalued. So I've got a couple of good ones for you.
Okay.
And obviously, there's no sleepers anymore because it goes on ESPN or Twitter and everybody finds out about it.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
So now most of the sites sort of talk about overvalued, undervalued.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of misinformation. People just don't focus on the lesser talked about players, don't know the situations in training camp. So there's still a lot of, if you're really in tune with what's going on, like these guys are, you do see a lot of inaccuracies in, the average draft position data, ADP data. So it's some of the ones that I like. Minnesota, Dalvin Cook, a rookie. He's going mid rounds.
Dual threat.
Latavius Murray was going into camp, the starting running back, but I'm not even sure if he's even practicing. He had an injury ankle injury. Started on the PUP list. So Dalvin Cook is going to be the guy there. They've got an awful offensive line, a mediocre passing game, but I think he could be the bell cow there. He's average draft position of 53. He's going as a 16th running back. I think he's got a lot of upside there. Could be a top 10 running back. Okay. So Dalvin Cook is a little bit under the radar. He's not going first round like Ezekiel Elliott did last year. Jonathan Stewart out of Carolina is still the starting running back, but he's not going until RB 46, ADP of 120. A lot of people are focusing on Christian McCaffrey, which is great, and I think that guy's going to be a stud. But he's not, you know, he's a small guy, and he's got some moves. I watched him in preseason last week. I think he's the real deal.
Yeah, I saw him. He definitely looked like he's going to be a lot more interesting than I thought he would
be. Yeah, he'll be the real deal, but he's not going to be a 15 to 20 carry guy. He's going to be a 10 carry guy with some catches. He's so small, he's just not going to be able to take the pounding for a full season, I don't think, at the NFL level.
Right.
So Jonathan Stewart is still the number one running back there, and may get the goal line carries. So if you're talking about an ADP of 120, you know, that's huge upside for at that position. So I think Jonathan Stewart, I'm targeting a lot of my leagues at that point. Rob Kelly out of Washington is another running back that's going 112. That's a starting running back. Washington doesn't have a well-known running game, you know, so I think he's going under the radar. So those are my running backs. Wide receivers. This guy, he's going late second round, Doug Baldwin, but he's always been a top 10 wide receiver, and he never really gets the respect for it. So I target him in the second round, late second round, and be happy with him. He's usually pretty solid out of Seattle. Again, sort of an under-the-radar passing team, but Doug Baldwin's the go-to guy there, and in a PPR format, it's done really well.
Yeah.
Michael Crabtree in Oakland. Mari Cooper gets all the attention. Crabtree's usually been a top 12, around a top 12 wide receiver the past 2 years, but he's going at number 20 wide receiver. So, you know, at the 20th spot, you can get a guy that'll be a, you know, borderline wide receiver one, wide receiver two. So Crabtree, I think, is going under the radar. Willie Snead in New Orleans with Brandon Cooks gone. That guy's kind of a stud. He could have some good upside. He's the 26th running back off the wide receiver off the board now at ADP 71. So he's a good one to target later in the draft.
He's been the 26th wide receiver off the board?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, in that offense. So, you know, Brandon Cooks is getting a lot of attention going over to New England. I think he's been drafted really high. He's kind of a lot in the overvalued range.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because New England spreads the ball around so much, you never know what Belichick's going to do. So those are some targets. Quarterbacks. One interesting thing, if you know, I really like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady this year. I think both of them could have huge, huge years. Yeah.
You know, that's, they're shocking.
Going, yeah. They're going second or third round, so it's, they're expensive.
Right.
But I think those guys could be worth it. They're just consistent. You know, they're going to perform. And there's kind of a huge drop off after those two and Drew Brees. There's a pretty big drop off to the next tier. But if you were going to wait on your quarterback, which a lot of people do, Philip Rivers and Carson Palmer are going really late, QB 16, 18, ADP of 120, 136. A lot of people stream quarterbacks based on matchups.
Right.
If you look at Philip Rivers' schedule, his first four games are against horrible defenses. Carson Palmer starts the season out against very tough defenses. But if you got both of those two, you could start Philip Rivers early and then get Carson Palmer later, and you get him in the 12th round or later. So if you're going to target QBs late, I really like Philip Rivers or Carson Palmer as sort of a streaming duo.
What do you think of Marcus Mariota?
Obviously, coming off of an injury again, I think he's been injured both of his seasons, so a little bit of an injury risk.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Palmer's the same way.
Yeah, yeah, Palmer. Palmer's getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is the year, though, Mariota kind of like takes that step to...
Yeah, he's got so many weapons now with Decker, and yeah, I think he's a pretty hot...
He started to take that step even last season before. I mean, we saw a couple weeks there where it was like, holy shit. But then he got hurt again.
Yeah. Let's see where he is in our software. Yeah. He's just below Andrew Luck, I would avoid all day long. So Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, and Matt Stafford are sort of that tier. Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota is going before most of those guys at ADP 97. But he's certainly a good later round quarterback. He's got a ton of weapons and a lot of upside if he stays healthy and really triggers with those guys.
Yeah.
Tight end. I'm a Packer fan. Martellus Bennett is going like tight end 10. I think he'll be top five. A lot of the people say that the Packers don't pass to their tight ends. They haven't used a tight end until Jared Cook came last year. That offense, they love tight ends in that offense. They just haven't had one in a long time. And I think Martellus Bennett is a beast and a big guy, and I think he's got a lot of upside. Going ADP 98, I'm targeting him all day long, you know, in the eighth or ninth round to get him a little bit early just in case. But I think he's got a ton of upside.
What about that kid Henry out of San Diego, second tight end after Gates?
Hunter Henry?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know much about him. I think he's been around for a while. I don't think he's really busted out yet.
He was a top 10 tight end last year.
Was he top 10? Okay.
He started, well, he got
what, a rookie
like three or four starts, though, when, what's
when
his name
Gates
was,
out.
When Gates was out. Hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going ADP 94, so you can get him pretty late. Yeah, he's probably got some upside.
Is Gates ever going to retire, by the way?
Yeah.
The guy just keeps going.
I feel like he's been around forever.
He's still scoring.
Mm-hmm. So I joined a on my fantasy league. They have these cool contests. They're basically 50-50s, like DraftKings, FanDuel, where the top half of the league, you double your money.
Yeah,
you can enter for $10, $25, $50, or $100. But it's a pretty cool way because you figure, you know, finishing the top half, you've got a decent chance at it. Some of the leagues where it's like winner take all, you need to be really good and get pretty lucky, avoid injuries, get that late round stud to really get the number one spot. But finishing in the top half of the league, if you know what you're doing, I feel like there's a pretty good chance of you know, getting your money, you know, doubling your money, which I think is great. So I joined one last night. The draft started at 9 a.m. this morning. Randomly, I got the first draft pick, which I'm really psyched. This year, I really want the number one or number two. Before Zeke got suspended, I would take the top three. But after those two spots, it becomes really dicey. I'm not a big fan of taking wide receivers in the first round, but I think after the first two spots this year, you've got to go with Antonio Brown or Julio Jones, maybe Beckham. Eli Manning is just so bad.
Yeah, that's what scares me.
Yeah. Beckham gets a lot of hype, so I think he gets drafted early. But this year, I love the one and two, getting David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell. Super psyched with either of those guys. And then what I love about drafting first this year on your come around for the second or third, you've got the 24th and 25th pick. I can get a stud wide receiver with the second pick, and that's going to be like DeAndre Hopkins or Doug Baldwin right there, which I like both of those guys. Amari Cooper is probably gone. Des Bryant's probably gone. And then the third round pick, 25th overall, I can take my Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. If Aaron Rodgers is available, I'd take him right there. So I've got a number one running back, stud wide receiver, and number one quarterback.
Yeah, that'd be a good start.
Of the first three rounds, which I love that. And then fourth round, I'm targeting Dalvin Cook, the 48th pick overall. So I get another good running back with number one running back potential. Willie Snead is a good fifth round pick. We talked about him. And then later on, I'm going to target Martellus Bennett in the ninth round. Jonathan Stewart in the 11th round to sort of fill out your team. The software's given me Cameron Meredith out of Chicago in the 7th round, Duke Johnson out of Cleveland in the 8th round. So, and everything plugs into my fantasy league. So all these all the draft picks and stuff are updated. But that's sort of what I'm focusing on today is filling out that draft plan.
What do you think of guys that go out of their way to not draft divisional rivals? So, like, as an Eagle fan, I wouldn't draft a Cowboy, a Redskin, or a Giant.
Yeah. That might happen your first year, and then if you lose, sort of that strategy goes out.
I mean, that's half the reason I don't play fantasy football is because I hate cheering for teams that, like, I have no business cheering for.
Yeah.
You can cheer for the team, just the individual player success.
Well, when they're playing against you, too, it's kind of like a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We always give – so we're all – my high school league, we're all Packer fans. So if anybody starts a Chicago Bear or, you know, Adrian Peterson or the Vikings against the Packers defense, we always give them some flack.
Yeah.
You just always go with team loyalty over your fantasy loyalty.
Right. Like
it overrides. And in the back of your mind, you're like, all right, if they are going to score,
I don't want that.
I mean, it's really not as bad as – it's. I understand the conflict, but it doesn't come into play as much as you think it would unless you're doing like five leagues and then you're fucked.
I mean, it has a gambling effect. Like, it makes games that are otherwise uninteresting interesting. Like, you put on NFL Red Zone and it just flips from game to game to game, and you are like, It's one of my favorite.
Dude,
things
I can't
to do.
Handle Red Zone.
Oh, I love it.
That is crack cocaine.
Non-stop. Yeah,
Red
it's
Zone is
too,
awesome.
It's too it, much, man.
You watch it too?
Oh, I love Red Zone.
Red Zone's the best.
I love Red Zone.
But it's kind of nice.
And
to
no
just
commercials.
Kinda,
yeah,
right.
No commercials.
That's what's. My eyes start to bleed after like hour three of just.
It's also just kind of nice though to kick back, watch a game, and have like no interest in it at all, and just like. It's kind of like the Darren Rovell.
That's what the WNBA
the
is.
The Darren Rovell theory where he doesn't fill out a bracket. That's how I am with fantasy football.
Oh, my God.
Watch the
that's
WNBA.
You,
then you, you know, that's if you don't want to care about a game.
I mean, I gamble on games anyway, so like I usually have money invested.
When you're watching Red Zone and say you have Julio Jones who's playing in another game and they have like, oh, a scoring update from the Atlanta game, like the thrill of like, oh, shit, hopefully Julio, you know, caught a 38-yard touchdown pass and it shows you.
No, I get it.
It's
play,
so exciting.
I've played fantasy before. And I just realized, I said San Diego, they moved to L.A., the L.A. Chargers. It's going to get a little, like, getting
yeah,
used to.
A, yeah, that'll take a couple years.
You get a pass
yeah.
for a couple years. Yeah. Man.
They're playing in a stadium with 28,000 people. That's so sad.
Yeah.
That's not going to be, like,
seriously?
A real stadium. Yeah. It's a soccer stadium.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Let's see if they sell it out.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty
that'll
sad
be,
if they don't.
That'll be interesting to see.
They got two teams, and I don't think either
Well, this
LA
has got
team's
me excited for my draft. I have these next 2 weekends, I have one. And each weekend, I'm really excited.
Well, Ted, how can you sign up for DraftAnalyzer.com?
So go to DraftAnalyzer.com/backdoor, and we've got some promotions there. We'll give you 20% off any of our packages. It's all subscription, so it's one season. If you're only playing in one league, you can buy one league subscription. It's like $15 or $20. Pick one source of projections, like Pro Football Focus is excellent. Fantasy Guru is excellent. If you're playing on ESPN, it's $3 to buy the ESPN Draft Sync and League Import. If you're playing in multiple leagues, you know, it's $25, $30 and it's unlimited leagues. Again, all of our sites, our ultimate projections have all five projection sources bundled into one for half price. So you get five different opinions, which I love. That's really popular. So go to DraftAnalyzer.com/backdoor. We'll have some promotions up there specifically for this podcast and this audience.
Nice.
And you know, the next 2 or 3 weeks are peak drafting season, so you gotta be ready.
There's also some videos on there that show you how all this works. It's real simple, obviously extremely helpful.
Yeah, a lot of video tutorials.
Nice.
Well, Ted, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
I could not be more excited for fantasy season now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ted Kasten, DraftAnalyzer.com. Check it out, guys. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
What if I told you there was a podcast that not only has humor, but it also has a little bit of business?
I would be skeptical, but I'd be all in if it were true.
Sounds pretty rad.
Yeah, well, it exists. It's called Dudes Doing Business, and newsflash, we're all on that podcast. We talk about the ins and outs of corporate America. We talk about our own business here at Grand X. We also talk about relevant stuff in the news and finance and the law. World, all that stuff. Nothing's off limits.
And Joe Rogan.
We all listen to Joe Rogan too. So you might get some Joe Rogan takes as a bonus. Just search for Dudes Doing Business. Subscribe. Just give us a shot to earn your business. That's all we ask.
All right, we're back. Thanks again to Ted. Check out DraftAnalyzer.com/backdoor to get, what was it, 20% off? On to golf. Justin Thomas.
JT.
Whom I would consider to be my boy. Wins his first major. He was a 40-1 dog.
It's a hell of a year for Justin Thomas. First major, shot a 59 earlier this year.
Yeah.
Shot a 63 at, I think, the U.S. Open.
This was 1,000% his coming out season.
Yeah.
And he's part of that squad, the young crew of dudes who have taken over the golf world, including Spieth, Fowler. Who else is in it? Smiley, who sucks now for some reason.
Yeah.
Shout out to Smiley.
Shouts to Smiley. I'm not sure.
Unfollowed me on Twitter so I can say sucks.
I'm not sure... he'll appreciate that, but...
Who?
Smiley. Just calling him out like that, blatantly. But it's fine. JT.
I'm aware that he wouldn't appreciate it. I stand by my statement.
This is actually JT's first win on the continental U.S. Like, he had 3 wins earlier this year, I think.
But they were but
all
off
of his
soil?
Wins are in Hawaii. Or, like, somewhere not in the 48 states.
In the Pacific. He loves the golf out there in the Pacific. You know what was big for me is that I have a signed Justin Thomas Masters flag from the 2017 Masters, which I don't know if you know this, but I attended, and so did Dylan.
That's only going to appreciate in value.
And now it's got to be worth more. It's granted, it's not a PGA Championship flag that's signed by him, but it is a flag.
We have a Spieth as well that I think you probably keep at home.
No, it's here.
Oh, it is?
In the office.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Wanamaker trophy?
The what?
the Wanamaker, what he won at the PGA Championship.
Oh, what do I think of
how,
it?
How do you stack that up?
I didn't
compared
know what it was
to,
called.
Like, the other
I didn't know it was called that either. But I mean, I don't. It's
well, obviously
it looks,
the PGA
it's
is
bigger.
Is a trash major.
Yeah, no, no, I
everyone
I agree.
Agrees. Yeah.
All right, here's a question: would you rather win the Grand Slam, 4 majors, or win 5 majors but never hit the Grand Slam?
The
Does
Grand
it depend
Slam.
What the majors
That's
are?
That's too complicated.
Absolutely, the Grand Slam.
Would you rather win the Grand Slam or win what?
So
or
you
win 5 majors, but without the Grand
Slam. Without the Grand Slam, so you win
so
one
extra major,
one of each,
oh, Grand
or
Slam.
Yeah,
5 majors.
Same. Here's a better one. Would you rather win the PGA Championship 3 times or the Masters once?
Masters once.
The Masters once.
And I think I'd rather win 5 majors with none of them being the PGA and not win the Grand Slam.
The lifetime exemption for the Masters is enough to...
I agree.
Yeah, that's enough for me by far.
That's pathetic. It says so much about the PGA Championship.
Well, I feel like the Players gets a little bit more prestige than the PGA almost. Even though they're like PGA is obviously a major, I feel like the Players, for some reason, it's at the same venue every
People
year.
People call it the 5th major.
Yeah, it has a little bit more prestige.
But, I'd still rather win the PGA.
I don't think it has. The fact that the PGA is considered a major alone gives it more clout than...
Well, yeah.
The 5th major thing and the Players, dude.
17 at Sawgrass. It's just there's just something to Sawgrass that I just like a little bit more than just winning a random PGA. You know how many random people have won PGA Championship? Like, I mean, Duffner's got one. Bradley.
Duffner's got one?
Keegan Bradley's got one.
Keegan Bradley won the PGA Championship?
Yeah, I think 2011.
Look, I'm just happy for JT.
Jimmy Walker last year. Like, Jimmy Walker's never going to win a major again.
Well, he has Lyme disease now.
Shout out to Jimmy.
Thoughts and prayers.
On to college football. We are now going to do the pathetic Big 12 college football preview.
Can I quickly note before we start this? So Micah has all the teams listed up there. And of course, he's a Mizzou alum, and they hate Kansas. All these Missouri guys, they lowercase the K in KU. Like, even in editorials that they submit to me, I have to, like, fix it.
You know what? I'm going to explain something to you. This is exactly the same kind of bitterness and hatred that A&M used to have for UT.
Yeah.
This is like little brother syndrome.
Where they'd call UT TU.
Yes.
And call you guys T-sippers and they'd do the lowercase T and the big case U.
One of our freelance writers who is a Mizzou guy.
It's not a good look.
He submits stuff to us about Kansas. It's like directed at Kansas because of course, this, he thinks that's a personal blog of his. And he lowercases the K in Kansas.
Right, dude.
KU.
Like, come on, man.
Come on,
dog. We get it. None of you guys that went to Mizzou like Kansas people.
You're jealous, frankly.
What I'm trying to say, Micah, is grow up.
Yeah. Grow the fuck up, Micah.
Just two quick things. Just a reminder, the state of Kansas was named after the city of Kansas City, Missouri. See, the state is garbage, and this really goes back to...
I'm not defending the state of Kansas.
Well, okay, good. And it also goes back to Norm Stewart, back when he was all Stormin' Norman, our basketball coach, through the 70s and 80s. He refused to spend a dollar in the state of Kansas, so they'd go on road trips, they'd fuel up on the Missouri side in Kansas City, they'd go to the game, and they'd stay like in Oklahoma or something, anywhere but the state of Kansas. So I think that's where the general slander really started.
I respect the pettiness.
Look,
that's awesome.
I get it. I just don't have anything that with that level of pettiness in my life, and I think I'm jealous of how petty these Mizzou people are over. I mean, it is absurd. You're exactly right. I have never seen one of these Mizzou guys say the school correctly.
Yeah.
Because they say Kansas University, they do the lowercase K. It's fucking chaos.
Oh, Micah.
It's more of a just like in general, or is it basketball, football? What is it?
General,
oh, it's the whole damn state.
Many people have said that the Civil War really broke out between Kansas and Missouri. There's a lot of history going back a long time between the states.
Many people have said this.
Many people are saying.
I've never set foot in either.
Do you guys want to start the predictions with the school closest to us, the University of Texas?
Sure.
Of course. Yeah.
Sure, Micah. Thank you for that suggestion. So let's start with the University of Texas. Dylan?
I am going to say, and I will be very pleased with this record. I think it would be a great step in the right direction for Tom Herman.
I bet you're
going to
say 8-6.
In year one of his tenure.
Why would
I'm not
going to
play 14 regular season games, but I will say 8-4. Eight is my I'll be happy number.
Yeah, we're going to stick with the regular season games. 12. We're not going to count playoffs.
Okay. So I was going to say 9-5, but
we might have a starting the starting quarterback might be a freshman from Westlake High School.
Micah, please do not record 9-5.
Yeah, because we're going to go 12 games. We're not going to go extracurriculars.
What I was saying is the quarterback for the University of Texas might be a freshman who played his high school ball Half a mile away from where we're sitting right now. So that's kind of cool, too.
At Westlake?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Drew Brees went to Westlake.
He sure did. So did
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. And Justin Tucker, the league's best place kicker.
Oh.
Nick Foles, noted Philadelphia Eagles backup and big old dick.
Oh.
That's nice.
Did not know that about Nick Foles.
Nick Foles has a hammer.
Good for you, Nick.
How do you know that?
It's locker room lore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dan, Longhorns.
Longhorns, I like where Dylan's head's at. 8-4 is pretty good. Tom Herman, I think he's a top 10 coach in the country easily, maybe even pushing top five, like top five. I think he's going to turn Texas around. This is the start of it. 8-4 this year, probably like 10-2 next year, and then we're talking national championships.
Whoa.
Dear God. Whoa. I'm going to say 6-6.
Fuck you.
I think Tom Herman, I am not sold on this, just like I wasn't sold on Charlie Strong, and I am a huge fan of when the Longhorns underperform and the entire city gets depressed and I don't have to hear about Texas anymore. So I'm saying 6-6.
Yeah, I am kind of out on Texas as a fan base.
Well, the fan base is kind of shitty.
You're shit.
I can.
All right, Texas Tech, Dylan.
5-7.
That feels right.
Is this a make or break year for our boy?
We can't even remember his fucking name.
Cliff.
Handsome Cliff.
They're going to have a shit season, I think.
Handsome Cliff's just Kingsbury, up there taking down undergrads.
Our boy told us that they're going to be shit.
They were, 5-7 last year with Mahomes?
Mm-hmm.
So,
actually, Cliff might not appreciate me saying that. So
I feel like Mahomes was maybe the best quarterback in the country last year, and they went 5-7. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of the same. Maybe 4-8 this year. Let's go 4-8. Cliff's out.
I'm gonna say 4-8 with Dan. All right, University of Oklahoma, Dylan.
They're suddenly much less hateable for me because Stoops is gone. I just hated that smug guy so much.
I totally forgot he's gone.
It's weird, isn't it? I still don't know why he retired. He's like not an old dude.
We'll find out one day.
For a while.
We'll find out.
They have a Heisman candidate at quarterback.
You can't keep that hooker buried forever.
Who's also an Austin guy, by the way. Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lake Travis, anyway.
I mean, how many times has he been arrested this offseason?
I'm going to say 8-4.
OU 8-4? Dan?
Yeah. That seems low to me. Obviously, a transition period with this coach, but Oklahoma is notoriously good. They get off to a hot start in September. Always gamble Oklahoma September. I see probably 9-3, 10-2, but I'll lean 9-3.
I'm going to go 8-4. Oklahoma State, Dylan.
I think these are your conference winners here. I'm going to say
really
10-2.
The mullet's looking good on Gundy. Got it trimmed up.
It's the mullet.
I think he actually trademarked his mullet. Did you know that?
How do you do that?
How do you trademark a hairstyle?
I mean, it's been around for a while.
But I think if anybody makes a shirt with his mullet on it. It
should be us.
I think we'll come after us if we do.
We should do that.
We really should.
OK State. Yeah, no, I think 9-3.
8-4. Just straight gut, straight nutsack. All right, TCU, Dylan.
7-5.
Yeah, 6-6. We're pretty much like in agreement with all these teams.
I'm gonna say 6-6 too. TCU finds a way to come out and just suck the last couple years. They do. West Virginia, Dylan.
Old drunk Holgerson up there. I'm going to say, I think they're going to be good this year.
Yeah, this is my team.
9-3?
This is my team.
9-3.
This is the team that wins the Big 12 this year.
Supreme confidence.
My boy, Will Grier, got the suspension cleared. They're going to start out like 7-0, 8-0, and I think that's when they Oklahoma State comes to Morgantown. So, honestly, I can see West Virginia go 11-1.
I could not be more out on the Grier family.
10-2. West Virginia.
The Grier family's trash, Dan.
Iowa State.
Why is that? What's wrong with the Grier family?
I told you about his famous Vine Star brother. He's like the biggest douchebag in the
You're
America.
Just out on Vine guys?
I mean, they have the same blood.
I'm in on Vine guys now.
Iowa State, I forgot they had a team. 3-9.
Yeah, they'll win like a game or two in Ames. It's just weird times in Ames. Like, they're not a good team, but for some reason, whenever Texas goes to Ames, they always lose.
Oh, is it because Texas is shit?
That might be it.
Make
too.
A pick, Dan.
Yeah, they're 2-10.
I think Iowa State's going to shock the world 5-7.
Shock the world.
University of Kansas or KU as these
lowercase KU. Dylan. I will put at 2-10.
Yeah, they're one of the worst teams in the country.
They beat Texas last year,
Beat Texas last year. So I mean,
they're coming with a chip on
the
shoulder,
up and up. Yeah, 2-10.
3-9.
They got to be playing like an FCS team.
That's me being positive for you guys. Is Dan
Snyder still coaching in Kansas State?
Yes. Man. He is. And he eats one meal a day.
He
it's Taco Bell.
He
usually.
Retired like 12 years ago.
The stadium's named after him. I think he's the only coach ever.
He eats Taco Bell every day?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has one meal a day and it's Taco Bell.
How old is he? Because that's how you don't live past 60.
He is 107.
Oh, he's way past 60.
Oh, God.
He's 107.
Is that the key we've all been missing? Is he was born Taco Bell every day?
Crazy. So,
Kansas State, Dylan, make a pick.
Kansas State will be
they're pesky.
They're a 5-7 team.
Mm. They're a little bit more peskier than that.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're 7-5.
Dan says 7-5.
They're a bold team.
I'll just go in between you. 6-6. Get right in the middle there. Sweet spot.
Middleman.
Bill Snyder is 77.
Oh, I was off.
He's getting up there.
I was off by 30 years.
77-year-old just hossing down Taco Bell once a day. That's American.
He's been old for a long time.
Baylor. Dylan.
Baylor, they're still spiraling, right?
Coach.
It's chaos in Waco.
They're figuring it out.
I hate Baylor. There, I said it.
You just hate
them. They're going to go 6-6.
Nah, I love my boy Matt Rhule. He's going to turn the culture around. Got ourselves a...
I'm pretty sure Dan just Googled the name of the coach so he can say it just now.
Former Temple coach, Matt Rhule, Philadelphia guy.
Yeah, that wouldn't be what popped up in the first line
of
that
Google search.
He was holding
his phone, and then he put it down and said, oh, yeah.
No, I forgot his name, and I went and I Googled it. Like, I know Temple guy, Matt Rhule.
He's all in on him.
8-4.
Hold on. I'm Googling their player list so I can pick one and say I like him. Baylor, I also enjoy watching fans from Baylor suffer similarly to UT, and they I think they are still in kind of a downward spiral.
Love
campus-wide. The feelings are not good.
They're trying to get rid of the rape culture.
Yeah, once you've developed rape culture, the next step is to try to rid yourself of it.
It's also hard to recruit players to play for a rape culture environment.
It got pretty ugly there.
Surprisingly, Baylor's admissions went up this year. Compared to like after all the Mizzou stuff where admissions was going down, Baylor's actually went up.
Well, yeah, people don't mind rape as much as they do protests. 4-8, Baylor. Down year, everybody gets fired again.
I don't think Maddenville's getting fired.
He's getting fired. This is his first year, isn't it? Yeah, he's getting canned. Shit canned. 4-8.
I got Oklahoma State winning the conference.
I got West Virginia.
I got West Virginia. Thus concludes our pathetic Big 12 college football preview. Next week, we will do our pathetic Big 10 preview. Check that. Next week, we will do our pathetic Big 10 college football preview.
So excited.
Man, this is riveting radio. Hashtag RR. The Big 3 playoffs are this week in Seattle.
Man, I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
A big deal.
Iverson's team make it or nah?
I don't know.
No, he got cut. Well, he wasn't coming anyway.
Iverson got cut?
No, his team didn't make it.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm upset to hear that. Huge week in Seattle, though. I mean, that's big for Seattle. They don't have basketball anymore, man. You got to give them this. Give them the Big 3 playoffs.
Do you see where they're talking about Seattle, the Supersonics coming back, and they would do like an expansion draft? And so like websites were starting to be like, here's what a Supersonics team would look like.
Oh, God.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, I don't want to see that, man.
Your matchups this week are the Trilogy versus the Ghostballers.
Oh, fuck.
And the Three-Headed Monsters versus Power.
I mean, we're all in Ghostballers.
I'm and a big Three-Headed Monsters guy.
The championship, of course, is the following weekend in Vegas, the same day of the fight.
Is Trilogy still undefeated?
Yes, they finished 8-0 in the regular season.
That's big.
What do you think the odds are that a single one of these teams has 100% of the players on the court sober at any given moment?
Zero.
Yeah, because I put them really low.
There's at least some pain medication going on.
Some, yeah. I want to, if we're counting any drugs, then for sure that's zero. But I'm talking booze alone.
Weed too. Like, I mean, Seattle, it's legal.
Like a lot of these guys are alcoholics, allegedly.
Man,
just throwing that out there.
I'm just saying.
Just throwing athletes under the bus left and right.
Whatever, man.
First Smiley, now the big three.
Everybody can suck one today. Let's go to the baseball minute with Dan.
It's a big week for baseball.
talk about the sport of baseball.
All right, so the big news in the MLB this week or the past 2 weeks is Bryce Harper suffered what looked like a significant knee injury.
It did look. It looked. People were saying it was.
People
very
were talking career alternating. Like he
like
wasn't
that
going
he was
going to
be in pinstripes next time we saw him.
Wasn't going to get his $400 million. Right. However, it is not that. It's just a significant bone bruise on his knee. No timetable for a return. But the Nationals are currently up 14.5 games on Miami, so they can kind of wait till the playoffs to bring him back. No rush.
But it is thought that he will play in the playoffs.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of Miami, Juan Carlos Stanton is just smashing balls to the fucking moon.
Yeah, he just broke the franchise record for home runs, I believe.
He's hit a homer in 6 straight games.
What is he at, 43?
He's at 44 on the season, and he's hit 23 of those home runs in the last 35 games.
Is that good?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I think it's like a Barry Bonds type pace.
Yeah, maybe just don't pitch to him at this point.
So, well, that's the thing is he's not seen a lot of pitches, but the pitch he does see, he's knocking it out of the fucking park.
Huh.
Yeah.
Aren't they going to trade him?
Stan, I don't think so. Miami just had the Derek Jeter group just bought it, the Marlins, from Jeffrey Lurie, so I think he wants to stay.
Mm, the Jeter Group.
I think those
guys get ass.
So Jeb was not part of the Jeter Group. I think Pitbull was.
Jeb didn't get enough ass.
Jeb got dropped. But yeah. I think Pitbull was a part of the team that bought Miami. So Dale.
Have you ever seen Eastern Promises? Well, if you haven't, it's a movie about the Russian mafia, and it's quite good. There's a scene in Eastern Promises where this mob guy's, the main mob guy's son forces one of his enforcers to fuck a prostitute in front of him to show him that he's a man.
Like, right.
Show him how he, you know, lays pipe. They did that with Jeb, the Jeter Group did, and he didn't pass, so he didn't get to be a part of the Jeter Group.
That's too bad.
Because you got to be able to throw the hammer around if you want to fucks with Jeter.
If it was W, like 100%,
he would have been in. But
yeah.
Jeter, noted hammer slinger.
Yeah, the Jeter Group, you gotta move some hog.
You gotta prove yourself.
Yeah,
you gotta move some hog. Yeah.
You do indeed.
And then a little last tidbit: Aaron Judge, he's just not having any of it since the All-Star break.
Yeah,
struck
what the fuck
out
happened
for
to that guy?
The 32nd straight game, tying Adam Dunn's record for most consecutive games with a strikeout.
Wait, of any player?
Since 2012. Yeah, yeah. He is now the record holder for most consecutive games with a strikeout.
Since 2012?
No, no. Of all time. Aaron, he tied Adam Dunn's record.
Ever. In the sport of...
In the
since record keeping
of baseball, yeah.
That's not what you want.
No. So before the All-Star break, he had 30 multi-hit games before. And after, in 30 games, he's only had one.
That, kids, is why you don't do the fucking home run derby.
Adam Dunn, former University of Texas football player. Little known fact.
Love Adam Dunn.
Thank you.
He was a quarterback, but then Texas signed Chris Sims, and they're like, hey, we want to move you to tight end now. He goes, peace out. I'm going to go play baseball.
And strike out.
I think it worked out.
Strike out lots.
Hit a lot of home runs, though.
A lot of home runs, a lot of strikeouts.
You know who else struck out a lot? You know.
Where
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth.
Nice.
The Babe. Yeah. I don't know what... How are Yankees fans reacting to this extreme downturn in performance from Aaron Judge?
Oh, how do you think they are? Reacting.
I assume
Yankee fans are totally rational.
I assume they're just losing their fucking minds.
They
want to trade the guy.
They're no longer in first place.
Adam Dunn played 14 years in the big leagues and made $112 million.
Holy shit.
So I think he made the right decision.
Being a baseball player, a professional baseball player, is the greatest thing.
And that's guaranteed money.
$112 million?
I got a guy I went to high school with who was just like an MLB journeyman. He's like in and out of, you know,
Triple A
to the majors, back and forth, bounced around different teams. The dude just made a killing making league minimum for like 10 years straight.
Wasn't the league minimum like 300 grand?
No, it's more than that.
Well, it was like 300 grand when I was 10 years old, so it's probably like
it's
700 now.
That's professional baseball, though. I mean, these guys in single A and double A aren't.
No, they didn't make
shit.
Anything. They make like 30 grand.
But the day you get called up, you're stacking.
Yeah, then you take your piece out.
I'm really looking forward to, like, I don't know. It definitely isn't going to happen, but why not? The Mets should call up Tim Tebow for September. Like, they're out of the race. Get some fucking butts in the seats.
Dude, the video of Tebow getting hit in the head is hilarious. The dude just drilled him in the helmet.
Oh, he's
intentional?
He's been mashing home runs too,
dude. Tell me if you were throwing in a Tebow, you wouldn't hit that dude in the head.
It can't be great.
220.
He's probably hitting like Aaron Judge right now.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking baseball, man. How many more games are there before the playoffs?
Playoffs don't start till October.
We're 18 months into the regular season. How many more months?
So we got August and September, and then October is playoff baseball.
Jesus,
that's when we start caring.
First playoff game is October 3rd.
Boom.
Great. So we're not really almost there, but sometime in the distant future, we'll be watching.
It'll sneak up on
actual
us.
Baseball.
Once football starts, baseball playoffs will sneak
That's
up
true,
on us.
Dan. That's a very good point. Once you hit football season, which we're, 2 weeks, week and a half away from now, things start to move a little quicker in the world.
Yeah, right now life's just a dead period.
Because this is just shit. If you get on Twitter, it's just people just freaking out about Donald Trump. And there's no baseball clips anywhere. And when I'll see like footage of a fucking Drew League game on SportsCenter, which that's not a thing. It's not a real league. Why do we get so much Drew League coverage?
Just guys playing pickup.
Show us the big three. That's a real league.
The best league.
Was that your entire baseball minute, or did I just cut you off?
That was the baseball minute, yeah.
That was the baseball minute with Dan.
We're stretching it, thank though. We're trying to get baseball out there.
That was the longest minute of my life.
Wasn't that bad.
Hey, nobody called our hotline this week, but if you want to, we have a hotline. It's 800-392-6344. We play the best calls every week. If there aren't any calls, we don't play any calls because there aren't any to
We had
pick
zero?
From.
I don't know.
That's crazy. Real.
We have some real trash listeners.
That's crazy
because
we had like 300 calls for OCC.
We had a couple. They just weren't great.
They were trash.
They were shit calls. Please, if you're going to call
There was actually one good one, but we're going to save that for next week.
But it was Better. A Kansas caller.
It's
and
evergreen.
You cut him.
800-392-6344. Call our hotline. Ask Dan a baseball question. He's an expert on baseballs. Talk about your fantasy team. Tell us who you drafted with your first pick in the first round.
Ooh, yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's great. We all want to hear that. Don't do that. We will delete your call and block you from listening to our podcast using the technology that we have that no one else knows exists. Backdoor cover hotline.
No need to mention that like I'm a terrible human being for not being a part of fantasy football. I kind of understand I'm on the outside with this take. But I'm not like judgmental that you guys are in
You're
fantasy
a trash
football.
Human.
I'm just kind of sitting on the sidelines.
We will play the best call destroying Dan for not playing fantasy football. 800-392-6344. That's our hotline number. Shouts.
I'd like to do a couple of reviews.
Oh, it, Micah.
And speaking of destroying Dan, the reviewers are universally just mean to Dan. And
Dan has bad takes.
I don't have any bad takes.
that is a bad take.
That's a bad take.
Yeah.
Would you like me to share some of these?
Feel free.
Here's one from a listener named Britt Griner, and it's entitled Pleasant Surprise. As always, 5 stars, and we will read them. If they're less than 5 stars, we will not.
If you leave us a less than 5-star review, you go straight to hell and you die.
Yeah. Heard there was a podcast where three dudes shoot hot takes all over each other, and sometimes Mia Khalifa comes. Turns out it's a sports podcast. Wasn't disappointed.
Okay.
Wasn't disappointed.
5 stars.
Thank you, Brittany Griner, since that's obviously your entire name. Is there a social security number on there? You want to give that out too?
And here come the mean Dan takes. This one from Jacob. Good. Well, actually, he misspelled good. It says God for funnies, not for monies. I love getting my sports betting knowledge from Philly Trash, who, after he was fired for being a moron, blew all his money gambling it away. Nice move, Grandex. Sad.
Yo, sorry, I'm God. Team content. Dude.
I like when people call you Philly Trash.
That's like the only insult they have. That's their go-to.
Yeah.
This one from Tegan McDonald said, Dan can do better. Dan, you're wrong. A silverback would get wrecked in a fight with a polar bear. This is why you'll never be a co-host.
Wait, the first of all, he is a co-host, but the title of the review is Dan Can Do Better?
Yes.
Do I coach up the gorilla to like fight better? Like, what do I do here?
Thing with your takes.
A 5-star review, the title of which is Dan Can Do Better. Dan, do better.
That's pretty much what my mom tells me every day.
Here's one from Trid, entitled just BDC. It says, love this podcast. Dan is completely and utterly insufferable. His, quote, hot takes are not hot at all, and he ruins the show. More Ross, more Dylan, hell, even more Micah. Ditch Dan. Veronica would be better on sports commentary.
Which is insane.
Okay, for those who are not familiar, Veronica knows absolutely nothing about sports. She's one of my co-hosts on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, which is a Game of Thrones podcast that comes out every Monday and Thursday. You should subscribe and rate us 5 stars and leave a review. But I'm gonna say that's an outrageous thing to say.
That she knows that the Yankees are in New York because she was born there, and that's her, the extent of her
entire sports knowledge, right, of any sport. Yeah.
And we'll do one more.
Yeah, let's do it.
This one is from Say What, Ron Burgundy, and it's entitled in all caps, Bring Back the Doghouse, Baby.
That's Dave.
Ever since basketball has ended, each episode has been a disaster. Ellen DeGeneres, who actually looks better with a beard, brings her sidekick along, who is a cigar store Indian, and they attempt to discuss sports, but often digress into which animals the cigar store Indian get beat up.
Okay.
As always, they are joined by Dan, a wannabe Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and the ultimate straight man Micah, who always tries to keep the train from going off the rails. That being said, I love the show and can't wait for football to be back.
Micah, did you write that review?
I did not.
It's an excellent review.
No one's calling you the straight man.
Micah, you had to have written that. That was too spot on.
No, I clearly played the stooge on this podcast.
I am fucking sick and tired of people calling me Ellen DeGeneres. I'm sick of it. All right, any shouts? Shouts to Ellen. Great show.
Shouts to Ellen's podcast. I hope I didn't get you in trouble for my comment earlier. We love you, though.
No shouts.
Shouts to the three-headed monsters. I wish them the best of luck in the Big Three playoffs. I know I'm rooting for him.
I think everybody is.
Shouts to draftanalyzer.com /backdoor.
The guy seen the
and good
stuff.
Guy Ted.
Yeah. I will have my fantasy draft on the day we next record, next Wednesday. So I'm going to come in here talking all about strategy.
Okay.
I'm just going to use that dude's software. I'm not going
to. Boom. Shouts to, actually I have a shout. Marcus Mariota. I'll give you a hot take since I really haven't been hot takey at all today.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota is going to be top 5 quarterback at the end of the year.
The Titans are trash. You know that, right?
They're not. They're not, though.
Okay.
They're going to win the division.
No, okay. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Backdoor Cover. Follow me at WR Bullen. Follow Dan at Dan _ Register, and then elsewhere at Dan Register.
Yeah.
Follow Dylan at Dylan Shiver. Four consecutive, non-consecutive D's.
Chivalry, actually.
Is that what I said?
You said Dylan.
Yeah. If it was Dylan, he probably wouldn't even fit in the 140
characters.
Yeah,
there's too many.
Right.
Right. This has been Backdoor Cover, a sports podcast for winners. That's our slogan this week.
I don't hate it.
We'll be back next week to talk about the missionary position and how it can effectively change your life.
In the Big Ten, where we'll see if you guys can name every team in the Big Ten.
I can name 2 teams in the Big Ten.
But I could do it. You just got to give me a minute.
Sports.
Bye.
Sports.